Dearly beloved in Christ, today being the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord, I thought it would be fitting to cover the topic of Christian perfection. But Christian perfection covers a wide array of topics when we get into the nitty-gritty of it all. However, as with all things complicated, there is usually a way to summarize so that we can more easily digest or comprehend the subject matter. If we are to do this, we must first define perfection, which consists in the attainment to the end for which we were created. That is, perfection for us consists in the attainment of the beatific vision. God is the end for which we were created, the infinite good. So if perfection consists in getting to heaven, then we must strive in this world to get to heaven. Okay, nothing new here, but that is the end. Meanwhile, here on earth, we must also strive for what is called relative perfection. This simply means that while we all have the common end of getting to heaven, we will all have to strive according to the graces and inspirations that God has given us as individuals. For example, I am a priest, and God has given me a vocation by which I am to obtain heaven, and he will provide me with the means to get there. But it's up to me to cooperate with these graces. But there is another way of approaching an understanding of what we must do to obtain perfection. And that is the negative way, what we must avoid. With this particular topic of Christian perfection, we can look to what St. John the Baptist said concerning the world. For all that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life. From 1 John 2:16. We have undoubtedly heard the terms the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are our main enemies, the obstacles standing in our way to perfection. I don't think these need any definition, as they are fairly self-evident, but the word concupiscence does require some defining. I remember when I first heard the term concupiscence, I was frustrated that I couldn't really find a satisfactory definition. And so I really had no idea what all these spiritual writers were talking about. I couldn't wrap my head around it, so to speak. And it's not really a word that can explain itself in context. I think it's confusing because it really can mean one of two things. First, it means the natural tendency of man to pleasure, which is not at all evil or sinful in itself, because God made us capable of experiencing lawful pleasures in this world. But secondly, the term concupiscence is used to denote the sinful and inordinate pursuit of pleasure. And typically, when spiritual writers say concupiscence, they mean the inordinate love of sensual pleasure. God, in his wisdom, allowed us to experience lawful pleasures as a means to an end. We must eat to survive, but we enjoy eating most of the time. God has given us an incentive to sustain our bodies. It becomes sinful if carried to excess. For example, drunkenness or overeating to the point of harming our health. Likewise with procreation. The moderate enjoyment of pleasure is referred to its end, that is, a moral and a supernatural good, then it is not evil. So we can enjoy the things that we are allowed to enjoy with a moderate amount of enjoyment if it's referred to its moral and supernatural end. Ultimately, all things lead back to God. We do these things in order to obtain the beatific vision, and that must be the way our minds are wired as Catholics. These things are a means to an end. The end is perfection, as we have said, which means getting to heaven. But getting back to what St. John said of the world, all that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh and the concupiscence of the eyes and the pride of life. So we covered the concupiscence of the flesh and what that may or may not mean. And now we come to concupiscence of the eyes. Again, this can mean two things. First, it can mean unwholesome curiosity, and second, it means the inordinate love of the things of the world. Tanquary says in his book on the spiritual life that Unwholesome curiosity means the excessive desire to know what goes on in the world, not in order to derive any spiritual benefit, but to indulge our craving for frivolous knowledge. If only he could have seen our world of excessive social media consumption today. But let us move on to the pride of life, as St. John terms it. This essentially means that man in his depravity seeks to glorify himself as God. This is excessive self-love. Now, as with concupiscence, self-love could mean that we are focused on attaining our heavenly reward and thus taking proper care of both body and soul for this purpose, and because our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. But in this case, pride of life means unlawful self-worship. Egotistical men are guilty of this fault, as they do everything for themselves, as if they were themselves the final end toward which we must strive. The word egotism comes from the Latin word ego, which means I. So now we have seen in a sort of nutshell what is to be avoided. But what are the remedies? For the first two great obstacles to perfection, which are concupiscence of the flesh and concupiscence of the eyes, we must practice mortification of the senses. And one of the greatest ways of doing this is carrying our personal crosses in life without complaint. We must deny ourselves unlawful pleasures and strictly avoid all unnecessary occasions of sin. But we must also deny ourselves from time to time even those lawful pleasures which we enjoy so as to strengthen our wills against sin. For the pride of life, humility, and self-abandonment to the will of God are the remedies. Also, beware of vanity, as it is a road that quickly leads to the pride of life. As followers of Christ, we are obliged to strive after Christian perfection, the end of which is attaining the beatific vision in heaven. And now that we know the obstacles to perfection a little better, we are better prepared to overcome them. Let us call upon our Lord in his transfiguration to assist us in our journey to heaven, that one day we too may undergo that transformation in heaven when we are given our glorified bodies at the end of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.